I'm Rachel, the creative director for Ram Dass's Love Serve Remember Foundation, and I'd like to welcome you to our Inner Academy, a virtual Dharma hall where our family of wisdom teachers will help you navigate your daily life by bringing ancient wisdom into a modern context. With over 200 hours of audio and video teachings, meditations, and practices from teachers like Ram Dass, Krishna Dass, Sharon Salzberg, Jack Kornfield, Roshi Joan Halifax, Joseph Goldstein, and many more, the Inner Academy is your core resource for finding balance, presence, and navigating the ups and downs of your daily life. The Inner Academy has guidance for every step of your journey. Choose from an annual or monthly membership and gain access to past and future courses, retreat replays, virtual community, and much more. If you've been familiar with Love Serve Remember Foundation for a while, you'll know that most of our offerings are given freely or on a sliding scale basis. So when you subscribe to the Inner Academy, you're paying it forward and bolstering our ability to continue creating accessible offerings for all in the future, as Ram Dass wished for us to do. Be here now and start your journey with Ram Dass's Inner Academy today. For more, visit ramdass.org/innerAcademy.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey everyone, it's Raghu, and I am back, and I'm doing a little bit of a different thing today, and that is, I just had some ideas about this course that Love Serve Remember is conducting, that is the Life and Teachings of Ram Dass and the Art of Being Here Now. And I did a little something on the first day, which was actually a few weeks ago. And I thought, wow, I'd love to share this with the mind-rolling audience, because I don't know how many people, you know, have joined this course. There is a few thousand people, like 3,000-4,000 people. So there is a lot of people. But indulge me, because there are some things that are so formidable from Ram Dass that I just had to share them. But before I go there, I have a big surprise after I share some of this Ram Dass stuff. But everybody, Alan Watts is coming to Be Here Now Network. Alan Watts and his son Mark is going to help with it. He's going to introduce different talks from his dad. And I am so happy. You know how close, I mean, these Alan and Ram Dass were really great friends. And Mark has some good stories about that. So to have them both on the network, on Ram Dass's network, basically, is a big thrill. And it's happening this podcast that I'm doing now will come out after Alan's already available. It's called Being in the Way. It's so great. This is that double entendre, meaning double meaning, being in the way and being in the way. So great. So everybody, check out Alan Watts on Be Here Now Network. Go to BeHereNowNetwork.com. Go to Alan Watts and Being in the Way. So I'm real happy about that. Okay, I'm not going to talk about the surprise guest that is going to appear on Mind Rolling today until I share some of this stuff. So basically, Ram Dass talked a lot about the initial grasp of the separateness and awakening that occurs when we get onto the path, the spiritual path. And it's for those of you who have seen that great movie from Ram Dass, Being, no, that's the book. By the way, don't forget to get the memoir, Being Ram Dass, but Becoming Nobody is this movie that is also represents core teachings of Ram Dass with some just beautiful, beautiful editing and presentation and scenes that make a picture out of Ram Dass's words. It's really quite great. So this is an essential thing from him, and it's around, he says, for instance, here, everybody around us trained us to be somebody and to think we were somebody because our parents certainly knew who they thought they were, and they know who they thought we were, and they trained us to think we were who they thought we were, and we bought it, and so we are who we think we are. But we really aren't, and that's the hype of it. And that's what the journey of awakening is about, is to realize that we've been had by our own evolution, in a sense, and the evolution offers us the opportunity to awaken out of that process. This is a major, major point, because once you realize that, you really start to connect with intuition and are pulled towards the things that really completely transform that somebody training. So yeah, I just had to share that. And geez, we've all had that feeling of being lost as a separate entity, and the all these neuroses that we have and habitual patterns, the profound unhappiness, and I'm speaking for myself, and as you've all heard many times, began to set in motion for a desire for something to change. And I had that really strongly. And I think we all have had that. We all from time to time have it, but certainly when we're younger, that is a primary motivation. Stop being unhappy, all the way to more morbid kind of stuff, which is, you know, deep depression and illness and so on. So when that happens, as I just said, something happens. The universe, the guru, whatever you want to call it, it manifests through a book, a teacher, a chant, a psychedelic. For me, John Coltrane in playing my favorite things in a club when I was 16, 17 years old. And then it dawns that there's a path to be free of this sadness, this unhappiness, this feeling of being adrift in the world. That's the beginning of awakening. And then you see a way to follow an intention that allows for transformation, and it's really through intuitive trust. It's really driven by that. And I talk always about my meeting with Ram Dass, which was the major trigger for me. Here was somebody who completely gave me full-on 100% attention. No, and he wasn't there, nothing about Richard Alpert, nothing about Ram Dass. It was just me in this field of absolute unconditionality, I call it. Unconditional love, compassion, but true unconditionality in a non-dual sense. And as a result of that, a tremendous trust came over me and led me to India. Absolutely led me to India. What else did I want to? And here he says, Ram Dass, because awakening makes you see that who you thought you were, the somebody you were trained to be, is relatively real, not absolutely real. At that moment, you've awakened. You've awakened. At that moment, you've awakened. You did your social perception exactly what Einstein did to Newtonian physics. You did it. He said, I was trained to believe that Newtonian physics is absolutely real when I was in college. Then Einstein came along and said, Newtonian physics isn't false. It's real depending on where you're standing. Under certain conditions, it's real. It's relatively real. That shift of social perception from absolute to relative reality is the process of awakening, in which you begin to see that these other parts of your being are also real. And he used to say over and over, as humans, we can live on more than one plane of consciousness at the same time. And that's a bit of what this is speaking about. And again, this is just tremendously important. really helping us shift our perspective in a big, big way. What else is here that I wanted to highlight? Well, I want to quote him again. Over the years, I began to see that as my vision of where I was looking from changed perspective, what I was just mentioning, then a number of things that had been in the background in my life started to come out as figure. And things that were figure started to recede into the background. And suddenly, I could see that there was a web of that information and that wisdom. See that? There was a web of information and wisdom that was available, but I was busy not seeing it because of the intense nature of the plane I was seeing. In other words, how stuck we get on our story, on all of our thoughts, believing them all. And once we're in that reality, it's impossible to think that there's anything else. That's why going to India and meeting Neem Karoli Baba was like getting clobbered on the head. And you could no longer think like that again, because he went beyond the perception of that this, my thoughts are real and there is only what I feel, see, hear, there's nothing else. That went away. And that goes away for everybody, one way or the other. As I said, through a book, through hearing a chant, through a teacher, a being that has gone beyond self-interest, put it that way, a psychedelic. So, happens for us all. Once we realize as Ram Dass said, the first thing to realize is that you're in prison. You bought into the model that you have trained into at birth, right? So, yeah, I just thought I'd share that. What did I want to do? I want to tell you that I was listening to His Holiness the Dalai Lama, or watching, because His Holiness has been doing live streams from India. And I just heard him say at one point, you know, our salvation is based on next generation. We have to nurture next generation. And those mothers, he's said this over and over and over, that give real compassion to their children are changing the world. But he basically said, you know, he talked about kids and what's going on and how they must be our salvation. So I started thinking, God, I have this granddaughter named Zoe. And she's pretty mature, very bright, understands what has been going on. I mean, is not cut herself off from it in terms of the pandemic, in terms of the political polarization, social polarization, racial justice. So I thought, gee, I'd like to talk to her and I want to talk to the next gen. And it's not like I get out there that much to hang out with next gen. She's going to be 12 years old in about 6 months. So I had this pretty interesting, not long, brief kind of conversation with Zoe, asking her what it was, how she was affected by all this, and what is her opinion about it, and how do we begin to even think of transforming it. I think you'll be really surprised. Now, it's so self-serving to have my granddaughter on the podcast in one sense. In another, she's fabulous and I love her. So I want to share this with you, okay? So here is my little surprise in this podcast. And I'm glad I got to share this Ram Dass stuff. And by the way, you go to ramdass.org and check it out, and you will be able to, obviously the course is everyone's already registered and so on, but it'll happen again. And we'll make some of this stuff available for sure. And don't forget Alan Watts. Okay. BeHereNowNetwork.com. And here's Zoe, and we'll see you next week. Hey, everyone. It's Raghu, and I'm back with Mind Rolling. And I have a new guest. Well, no, you're not new, right, Zoe? This is Zoe Marcus.
Hi.
And no, you were on a few years ago, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think
long ago?
Six, maybe? I'm not sure.
No, it can't be six. You would have been 5 year old, 5 years
no,
old.
No. I was six, so it was like 5 years ago, so I was 6 years old.
You think you were six, too?
Yeah, I think it was just when I moved.
Uh-huh, right. That's right. Wow, time flies. So I had this thought for Mind Rolling. I kept looking out at all of the happenings due to the pandemic, the quarantine, and everything else that's been going on, our political situation, our social justice situation with so much going on. I thought, I think I need to talk to a couple of the next, this is next gen. I don't even know what your generation is called. Do you?
I was born early 2010, so I'm Gen Z.
Gen Z. Okay. Mm-hmm.
The generation after 2012, I think is called Gen Alpha, but I'm not sure. I don't think they have an official name.
Yeah, they're just going to disappear off of our Akashic records. Okay, so Gen Z. So I thought, yeah, it would be great if I could get some idea of what it's like to be going through this particular period in our history, really. I mean, this is just what that last pandemic was in the earlier part of last century,
1918 was the Spanish flu.
Yeah, and here we are again, but in the midst of lots of other stuff. So, I just want to, if you can just start, what's your general feeling that you've had related to dealing with you completely? You haven't been going to school. You may have seen a couple of friends and you may have done a couple of activities, but really you've been quarantined. What's been going through your mind and your emotions around that?
Well, so in school, it kind of starts to feel the same every day, because in normal school, you have different ways to socialize and learn. But here we have one way, and that's remotely. So you wake up, you go onto Zoom, and you just go to your assignments and you listen to the instructions, maybe take notes. But it just kind of feels, it just kind of feels kind of all similar. And the days go by really, really fast. And even weekends, they sometimes also feel the same. Like you're just sitting at home on the TV or watching on your phone or something. So, yeah.
And now, wouldn't that make it slow down, though? I mean,
that is a weird thing, because I always thought, I mean, everyone says time flies when you're having fun, but really it's like when you look back, the day goes by fast. But then when you're like, when you think to something that happened like 2 hours ago, you're like, that was 2 hours ago. That feels like a day ago, because it's just so similar. It's like you mix up the days and it feels, it's such a weird thing to explain. And I don't know if it's just me.
That's interesting. I haven't heard that point of view. But what about, now you are fortunate because you got two sisters.
Mm-hmm.
So you do have interaction. And You're quite lucky. But what about just the fact of, you know, you have your own friends, you have your own activities, and they're all gone, or at least maybe they're coming back soon, we hope. But for the moment, you know, what's that been like to be isolated?
Well, like being isolated in itself, it's kind of, you find ways, but like, Because, like, obviously FaceTime and all that stuff you can do, but it's just not the same. Like, I used to go to an after-school place. It was really fun. Like, me and my friends would just sit and, like, goof off for, like, 3 hours before our parents picked us up. So, yeah, that was always fun. But, I mean, with the circumstances we have now, I think we still are doing a good job of socializing.
That's really... A positive. That's a big part. What about the fact that because, although again, you have these sisters, so it's you actually don't spend that much alone time. You have a roommate, and but has anything happened during this period? Because you have had free time. You know, I know you're on your iPad and all that, but have you had any? Has there been any kind of reflection inward whatsoever, if you know what I mean?
Just thinking.
Just thinking about like what these times have brought.
I guess
like, perspective like that.
Yeah, I guess you could say like there's always someone out there who is probably on a hospital bed sick and they can't do anything. So you just need to try to look at it. Well, I don't want to be that person, obviously, because that's horrible to go through. So, like, just thinking about the fact that what I'm doing right now is a good thing. Just staying at home is a good thing because some people don't have, like, the option to stay home. Some people have jobs, like people who give vaccines, they're working at the sites for like 12 hours a day giving vaccines and stuff. So they do definitely have a higher chance of getting COVID, even though they probably already got the vaccine. But even before then, with all the people giving COVID tests and stuff, they had a high chance. So you just need to think, I am lucky to stay home and not have that huge risk of like doing COVID tests and getting COVID.
Yeah. Now, what about some of the other aspects that have been going on to even add more fuel to the fire, so to speak, of this intense kind of time? I pretty much know you probably do know about what happened with George Floyd, for instance. You know that whole scene.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm supposing you weren't really thinking of racial justice or the fact that this country is unfortunately has a lot of racism. But since then, it must have made you think about this. What's your reaction to all of that?
Well, you can always. I just think that, like, if people teach others and treat others equal, those people will grow up to think everyone is equal. So I think there's a big chain that we kind of need to just break, because if one person is racist, they'll pass it down to their kids, and they'll tell all their, I guess, ideas or stereotypes about others to their friends. And it just creates this whole kind of like virus of racism, and it definitely needs to stop. And it's just a matter of how. So we can sign petitions. We can let others use their voices. We can we can find ways through social media to spread awareness about the issues so we can help others and racism.
Yeah, transforming racism. Yeah, that's good. That's good stuff, Zoe. And the other big, of course, huge happening has been the political situation, and there's such huge. Do you know what the term polarization means?
Not exactly.
I've heard it. Yeah, so we have on one side the Republicans, basically, and the other side the Democrats, And the polarization is the complete inability to these two parties to meet in any way. And then it also goes into our social structure where, you know, many people, for instance, in the vote, many people voted for Trump, you know, 70 million, I think, and maybe what, 8 million more voted for Biden. So there's a pretty even split in this country about how people see the world and see this country.
Yeah.
What have you thought about that in particular, that kind of
group? I would rather honestly have Obama as a president more than anything. But obviously, if I had to choose between Trump and Biden, I would choose Biden. And I think that you can't really just say, oh, well, he's better, so then their beliefs will be automatically changed. And it's not just a matter of showing, well, this person did all these horrible things, so that's why you should vote for him. I think it's like saying, well, here are the pros and cons, and it's not always, again, like racism. It's kind of, if you grow up in more conservative household, you'll have those beliefs sort of pushed on you. So you have freedom to decide on your own. Mm-hmm. So like to me, like it's easy to just think one way because that idea has been pushed on you for many, many years, but it's harder to just do a bunch of research and find it your own and make up your own beliefs.
And make up your own mind. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess all of this really, it does stem from that one place, which is how do we manage to be able to communicate with people who aren't like us, for instance. They don't look like us, or they don't have the same worldview as we do. We have different perspectives. How do we bridge that gap? It's everything that we're talking about. And you know what? It's the same thing for the COVID, for the fear yes. of getting COVID and getting very sick and so on. There's a way in which we have to bridge that gap inside ourselves, that we don't just go and indulge in that fear. You know, it brings up all kinds of fears. One fear usually engenders a whole bunch of other fears that you kind of throw in. It's like piling on in football. One guy tackles and then 14 huge 300-pound linemen jump on him. That kind of feels to me, that's what happens to me. I might get... Maybe it's not fear, anger. I get angry at something, and then I remember all the other things that I want to be angry about, and I get even angrier. So that's that little polarization, meaning, you know, the war that's going on inside ourselves is very similar to this other reality of how to transform these different parts of our society and how people, because everybody wants people to be happy, right?
Yes.
You know, His Holiness the Dalai Lama, you've heard of him. Dalai Lama?
I think I've heard of him. I'm not too sure. I don't know a whole lot of him.
What kind of person am I that I haven't introduced the Dalai Lama to you? he's all about, my only religion is kindness. That's what he says. And that seems to be missing a lot, right?
Yeah. I mean, some people kind of just want to watch the world burn. And really, it's hard to change those people's minds. But maybe we can stop all the hate and racism and stop the whole virus by using kindness as more of like a cure, I guess. So we can.
As a what? I didn't hear that.
Kind of like a cure.
Cure, yeah.
To all this horrible hate and racism and everything that like is happening. So
Yeah, no, absolutely. Totally with you. By the way, everybody out there, I have forgot to mention, and I want to, Zoe, aside from going to school, which seems to be not that much. I love when you said, yeah, get on Zoom, you either take notes, maybe you don't take notes. Who's watching? Zoe has her own store on Etsy. And what's the name of that store?
Zolan Cosmetics. I sell like different beauty products, mostly lip gloss, but I do sell like bath products, I guess, like body scrubs.
I didn't know you were doing that, body scrubs, along with lip gloss and so on. Yeah.
Expand.
You're expanding. What, you have to spell the URL, though.
Spell the URL, like...
Spell the website, you know, how people find it.
Oh, yes. It's Zolyn and then cosmetics. So Cosmetics.
Cosmetics. Cosmetics.
I'm not sure if I spelled it right.
Okay, but it's Zolyn. Z-O-Z-O-Y... L N
Z O L Y N.
Yeah.
So
.com.
Zol Y N.
Is there a hyphen?
Well, like you would just go on Etsy and I guess you could just search up Zolan. Oh,
go to Etsy and search Zolan.
Or you could go to Instagram and search it and then you can just click the link.
Okay. All right. So there you go, everybody. It's good stuff.
And, I'm getting into, like, a lot of hobbies, so yeah.
Yeah. And something else that Zoe is involved with is painting. And, you know, okay, I'm subjective. There's nothing I can do about it. But I just think that you are an excellent painter.
Thank you.
And artist, actually. And I want to show... See if I can get this.
Well, that one's a bit old. That one's not my favorite piece. I've made many others that I'm more proud of. I think I like doing sketching too, like making faces. I don't share a lot of those because honestly, I'm not the best, but they are really fun. Just because making a face is honestly a really, really hard thing to do. Like some people just are kind of born with the talent of replicating people, faces, like objects. I'm not one of those people, but I'm trying to learn.
Mm. Well, I like these landscape kind of things you do and the reflective, you know, from land to water. I differ with you.
I think I was like 9 when I made that, but I think I've gotten better. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I need to see some more. You'll have to show me. I usually, I trade stuff with Zoe. You know, she makes a painting and I trade something else. I have a barter thing going on with you.
I guess.
Any last words before we get off?
I think everyone should be kind to each other and find a way to make others happy and follow the golden rule. Treat others the way you would want to be treated.
Thank you. That's perfect. All right. So thanks for coming on, Zoe. And I think we gave you how to find Zoe. You can find her on Etsy. I don't know about finding the artwork. You should start putting artwork up on a site. Maybe you can figure out how to build a WordPress website. And then you can upload artwork and the products can be there with links to Etsy. You know, I can be your market. I am your marketing person, I think, a little bit. And so thanks, Zoe Marcus. Thanks for being on Mind Rolling. And go to BeHereNowNetwork.com/mindrolling. And maybe we'll do a series as we go along and reflect on the nature of what is going on in this world through the eyes of an 11-year-old.
Yes.
All right. We'll talk later.